only one thing is going to be done, sure. But when you look at it, several things seem to be possible. It's a fertile brain and something which is able to look at a problem from several different points of view. Not all, but several different points of view, that's possible. Just as you play different roles in different situations, you can also shift the attention from one to the other and see it from different points of view. When you have all the possibilities and probabilities lined up, then you are completely relaxed when you attack the problem. Eventually you are going to do only one thing, but you don't know. You don't know what you are going to do, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that it's possible for you to make a choice, you can't make a choice. But you can be aware of all the possibilities. When you are aware of all the possibilities, and you have sort of braced yourself up for any of those things, then you are never taken unawares. And that means looking at it from not merely sort of, oh, I have to do this and only this, then you get terribly frightened. I have to do this and I must do only this, nothing else. Then you get terribly frightened and probably either you don't do it well or you don't do it at all, you get, it's a mess. That is freedom. If I do something, you can hold me up before the magistrate and then you think that there is only one possibility, then this fellow will end up in jail, which is not true. Apart from other possibilities, I may die. There is one escape from prison, from all sorts of prisons. I can die. I might die. It's total freedom, complete freedom from all these. So, there are so many possibilities, not just one. Possibilities and probabilities. What is going to happen or what you are going to do, you don't know. I'm not saying that you have a choice. There are two different things. You don't have a choice, but there are quite a number of probabilities and possibilities. The mind that does not, the intelligence that is not able to visualize all of them, is frightened. Take the case of that one picture. One day, everything seems to be all right now, so it's very difficult to visualize that something might happen to knock it down. But once it happened, once it was knocked down and the glass broken, good. Funny enough, immediately I thought of at least three things, simultaneously I thought of three things. Number one, put this thing there, a couple of hooks, so that the curtains don't flip-flop. Number two, before leaving the place, after even a temporary occupancy like this, put it down or somewhere else. Number three, you can get some sort of plexiglass, what they call unbreakable glass. You can put one of those things, so even if it is knocked down, it's knocked down, it's no problem. But then as soon as I come and sit here, a fourth thing suggests to me, why not put it down for the time being? Or put it on the other corner. When you equip yourself with a knowledge or understanding of these alternatives, you are relaxed, you are not terribly worried.
But when you're not there, you have all and then just leave it for a while.
Ah, you know.
And one that, and you just
keep one comes up, correct? Exactly. And one happens. Mm-hmm. It is not a, when it has happened, you realize it was not a choice.
No, it's just
kind of, that was what was going to happen. No, you are not worried about the choice. The moment you see that there are several probabilities and therefore possibilities, you are no longer tense and worried.
Mm.
That's it. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, because it seems that...
It seems that you can always solve the problem. It's easy. There are easy solutions, there are difficult solutions, there are impossible solutions. There are no solutions. So, well, if that happens, this I'll do this. If this happens, I'll do that. So, it's all there. So you go to sleep. And when you wake up, either the problem is gone, so it needs no solution at all, or the whole situation changes and something else comes up. And you do something which you hadn't even thought about. So there is no choice. You are going to do something and you are going to do that. It has either been predetermined by somebody or you are made that way.
Why is it necessary to take the second step at all then? Why look at the possibilities and probabilities?
Well, if you are enlightened, you don't have to. If you are a Buddha, then the confusion doesn't arise.
Is it only confusion?
It's only a matter of confusion. It's only a matter of confusion and a sort of instant panic. Oh my God, I don't know what to do with this. Huh? I don't know what to do about this. And the more panic you are in, the worst is your choice is going to be eventually. You are not going to see anything. How to avoid that panic and how to avoid that anxiety, how to avoid that worry? By merely scanning the horizon and seeing that there are so many possibilities and so many probabilities. So what am I worried about? Go to sleep. Is it possible that in 1984, there may be a nuclear war? Yes, sure. But one of the other possibilities is that I might die in 1983. A natural death. It's your problem, isn't it?
Excuse me, is this tied in with a sort of a determinism and fatalism and tying up with astrology and all that sort of stuff?
I'm not sure about all that. I am not sure about fatalism. What is fatalism?
Predetermined things.
Predetermined. By?
By fate. The fatalists, the people who believe in fate.
No, let them believe poor things. But do you believe in any kind of fate? I don't know.
Something's going to happen, I can't change it. It's going to happen, it's going
to happen. Right. How do you know what's going to happen? That's the question. You see, I don't know if anybody here who knows is called in French. Fait accompli means an accomplished fact, yes? Huh? Present one with a fait accompli means it's an accomplished fact. I mean, you can't change it. I don't know if the word fate also comes from more or less the same source, same root. In that context, fate means an action, an event. So what is fate? And who determines this? Is there an entity who determines this? And if there is an entity, God, nice, good word. If there is an entity who determines this, do you have any access to him or her, it? And can you find out from him, her or it, what is going to happen? No. Now, therefore that's totally irrelevant to our lives. I'm not saying such a thing exists. I'm not saying such a thing does not exist. If you don't mind, I'll tell you a couple of funny stories. I hope you won't. We'll come to that. at least one is a bit not quite acceptable, sir, to a society like this, but it's very interesting. Who determines what is to happen? Such a possibility is seen in the scriptures. I'm not talking about Oriental scriptures. In the Bible, if the prophets were able to say, tell, warn kings and, you know, things like that, this is what's going to happen, obviously they could see what was going to happen. If you accept the prophetishness of the prophets, then at the same time you accept that those things which they prophesied had already come into being. Yes? They were not Wall Street projections, stock exchange, stock market projections, predictions. Those prophets said, this is going to happen. And so it had to happen. Which meant that they saw. In order to enable them to see, the thing must have been there. Simple, acceptable, that much? On the basis of the Holy Bible. That much seems to be acceptable. This had to be. And even so, Jesus also says that this has to be like this and in no other way. I have to be crucified, I have to die, and I have to so and so, so. These things are predetermined. Is such a thing possible? Possible. For instance, if you look into the night sky and see a star explode, that explosion probably took place about a few thousand years ago, yeah? Depending upon how many light years away it is. Are you following this? Mm-hmm. Now, let's take. He is where the star explodes. And you are seeing it today, tonight. David is another 10 light years away. In relation to him, it is in the future. He is going to see it 10 years later that the star exploded. So that you could jolly well, if you can communicate with him on long distance, you can tell him, David, you know, in 10 years' time from now, you will see a star explode in this direction. And so it will. So, in this manner also, it is possible to see that things are happening and past, present and future seem to be merely a person's point of view. Again, there are fundamental questions which cannot be answered. Who knows this? Who knows what is going to happen definitely? Perhaps no one. Except that which has been in all these three places at the same time. To that, God, who was there, here and there at the same time, when did it take place? All the time, I suppose. I don't know. I have no idea at all. The time division doesn't exist in a timelessness called God. It's confusing. That's why it's nice not to be God for some time. It can be a confusing thing. And now, you mentioned astrology and predictions and so on. Can they be true? They can be true. They may be true. But if there is some astrologer here, I would very much like to have some clarification on this. What exactly is the sense of my knowing what is going to happen if what is going to happen cannot be altered? If something is going to happen, my wife is going to leave me, abandon me, in 2 years' time. If somebody predicts this thing, he has only soured our relationship now. If I had not known, the relationship with my wife would have been harmonious and loving. And because this thing, this futuristic information has been poured into me, I am already getting either anxious or worried or suspicious, and so on and so forth. So, is there any sense in consulting these astrologers to find out what's going to happen if it is not going to be altered? Can it be altered or not, is the question. If it can be altered, it's very good. It's very useful. If it can be altered, it can be very useful. Talking about astrologers and people who consult astrologers, at least there was one instance in Madras where an astrologer was sued and for quite a lot of money. He had predicted that some Mr. So-and-so would die in 6 months' time. And he died. The son went to court. He said, there is nothing wrong with my father except the suggestion planted by this man. So he died because of him. And there is all sorts of court case and medical examination and so on. The doctor said he was in perfect shape. There's no reason why he should have died. So, that's another story. There are two legends. Both these are simple legends, you take it or leave it. One legend concerns one of the members of the Trinity called Vishnu, the preserver of the, protector of the whole universe. Right. According to astrology, there are some benefic and malefic planets. Huh? Saturn is supposed to be a malefic planet. Shani. Right. So this Saturn went to the kingdom of God, where this Vishnu was resting, greeted him and said, what's wrong? The Lord asked him, what have we come here for? Nothing very serious. On 9th April, today's 9th, is it? 10th? 9th April, between 6:30 and 8, I am supposed to trouble you. I thought I would come and tell you. I said, you? I'm the Lord of God of gods, and you say you're going to trouble me? So, I don't tell the other four lesser mortals. I grab them and chew them. But since you are God of gods, I thought I might tell you. Then he went away. 6 o'clock on 9th April, Vishnu thought, hey, half an hour this chap is supposed to trouble me. and do something. So he got up from heaven, and went to an outback bush, a marshy place, hid inside a dirty little cave there. Impossible for even the CIB to get there. Nobody could get. He's waiting. 6:30. Look around. No Shani, no Saturn, nothing. 7 o'clock, nothing. Say half past seven, nothing. 8 o'clock, nothing. I made it. This fellow couldn't even find me. And as he was coming out of the marsh, there was this Saturn standing. And he said, "Hey, you couldn't even find me." Saturn bowed down, fell on his knees and said, "Lord, but for me, would you have left heaven and come to this place?" You cannot alter what's going to happen. How what is going to happen is made to happen is beyond your intelligence. You understand me? Huh? It's beyond your intellect. You want to avoid an accident and so don't go, don't step onto the road at all, a truck crashes through your gate. Someone says you are going to have an automobile accident. So you say, "I won't go out of my house, I won't get into the car." Good. You think you avoided it. But you are sitting in the lounge, it's a bit hot, stuffy, so you are sitting outside and reading your newspaper. And a truck comes down directly and crashes into your... Then you think, "My God, if I had not been here, if I had gone to the beach in the car, this would not have happened." The very fact that you were trying to avoid that accident by not going made the accident possible. Right. This is one story. Another story is, as I told you, a bit funny. So be prepared for it. According to this Oriental astrology, these planets, Saturn, Moon, and so on and so on and so on, maybe these planets are inorganic matter orbiting the Sun. But according to them, they are presided over by some intelligent being, some deities. These planets are presided over by intelligent beings, sentient, intelligent, divine beings, who determine the orbits and how they move and so on. So that there is a beautiful ambivalent attitude, that you look upon them as inert substances, and you also look upon them as deities, angels, some sort of angels or devils. And so when they say Saturn, when they talk about Saturn, they not only talk about this planet revolving around the Sun, but also the deity presiding over this, personified as some kind of a god, like the Greek gods. Among these planets is also this Jupiter, called Guru. Jupiter is Guru. And according to Indian astrology, quite a lot of trouble that is caused by Saturn or some other planet can be modified if you have Guru's grace. Now you can interpret these two words, Guru's grace, in any manner you like. They may even say that you are supposed to have been killed, but because you have Guru's grace, your Guru's grace, Shivananda's grace, that tragedy was averted, modified, and instead of losing your head, you lost your hat. Such a thing also is supposed to be possible. Now, there is a story. Guru, in in the personified form as Jupiter, had a daughter who had to be married off. And there is a custom that an astrologer doesn't consult his own horoscope or the horoscopes of his family. He goes to some other astrologer. Just as a doctor doesn't treat his own family, he sends them to some other doctor. He doesn't treat himself or treat his family. It's done by somebody else. And so this Jupiter, Guru, went to another astrologer. And this astrologer happened to be the guru of the demons. Jupiter is the astrologer of the gods, and the other fellow is the astrologer of the demons. So he went and said, my daughter is going to get married and this is the boy chosen. Will you examine their horoscopes and tell me what's going to happen? This man looked at the horoscope. The day chosen for the wedding, the nuptials, is the most inauspicious thing. And if they even touch each other that night, this boy would die. Can we choose some other day? You cannot. There is no other day. It has to be done on that day. And this is what will happen. If the boy touches that girl that night, he is finished. And he said, supposing nothing happens, oh well, they escape. But right, something will happen and he will die. Right. Then the wedding was celebrated, everything was done. And the boy and the girl were pushed into the bridal chamber. This Jupiter was having palpitation. He had no nerve to tell them, please, you know, his own daughter, how to go and tell her, don't touch your husband today. It's rude, terrible, unkind. So he had no nerve to tell her anything. He thought, all right, let them go in. Well, they may be tired, nothing may happen, why should I? So he see the suspicion. Nothing may happen. And after they entered their bedroom, this guru, the Jupiter, planted himself at the door and was looking through the keyhole, which is a terrible thing to do. But then he thought that if they are up to some mischief, I will shout and prevent the catastrophe. I told you, it's a bit funny. And then he was looking and he was looking and he was looking. They were probably tired and they just jumped into bed and went off to sleep. He was inwardly pleased, but then he was still not quite sure. They might get up sometime in the middle of the night. So he kept a watch there throughout the night. Nothing happened. As he turned away from there, was furious. He said, this rascal, he made me do this most shameful thing to my own daughter. Sit there and watch. Oh no, sorry, I made a mistake. Something did happen. Something did happen, and he saw that his daughter was excited and overjoyed, and he forgot to shout. He forgot to shout. Then he remembered that the boy must fall dead. He didn't. Then after they did whatever they did, they went to bed and just went to sleep. Then he was angry with the other astrologer. He made me look at my own daughter doing this. Terrible. So he went to him early in the morning and he said, I never expected you, such a guru of the demons, to play such a dirty joke on me? He said, what? Well, I was looking through the keyhole and I saw them in all sorts of situations. And I saw that she was so happy and so forgot to shout. But nothing happened according to your prediction. I thought you knew astrology, you are also Jupiter, Guru, you must have known astrology. That the Gurus, if a Guru is witness to something, it's called, what do you call it in astrology, aspect. If there is Guru's aspect, Jupiter aspect, then the calamity is averted. And because you were looking, this thing did not happen. If you had not been looking, you would have died. But but because you are looking, your look, your grace saved him. So now, you have these two stories. One, to show that what has to happen will happen, regardless of how hard you try to avoid it. The other is that if you know what might happen, that intense inner awareness itself, that is the Guru, isn't it? That intense inner awareness that this might happen, might be able to avert it. And if, as I hope you are thoroughly confused, you come to exactly where we were in the beginning. I do not know, you do not know what is going to happen. And never mind what other people say about the future, the astrologer or clairvoyant or XYZ. Never mind what others say. Something is going to happen, and it may or may not be in accordance with what they say. Right. But you turn on the radio and they say it's going to rain tomorrow. It's going to rain. You look out, it's clear, it's fine, and you are going on a picnic. Why not carry an umbrella? Is there any harm in it? So take that into account. Take the prediction into account also. And that is one of the jigsaw pieces. The prediction is one of the jigsaw pieces. It's not the totality. It's not the only possibility. It is one of the several or many possibilities. And when the intelligence apprehends or appreciates the whole lot, then it is prepared for anything. There is calmness, peace. And you are able to face whatever contingency arises without getting into a deep, terrible state of panic. That's all.
Just
have I answered more or less?
And just listening there, just struck me that thought can create, but it seems it can't uncreate.
Thought can create, it cannot uncreate. It can, why not? What it creates, it can erase. That is the basic problem, sir. That is the basic problem, and that is the reason why thought-created experiences are suspect in one's spiritual life, especially in one's spiritual life. You have a sort of psychic experience or something like that, and you're elated. Oh, I've seen the light of God. I have seen the light of God is a thought process. The light of God must see me, not I must see the light of God. And when the light of God sees me, the me is gone. Is that right?
Yes.
Huh? The other way around. So, when somebody is tempted to say, I have seen the light of God, and if that is, as it happens mostly, a function of the brain, an activity of the mind or the self, then that goes away sometime later. When some other experience arises, or when there is what is blissfully and beautifully called disillusionment takes place, mind simply wipes it out.
But you can't choose to do that. I mean, I had an experience and I can't choose to forget it entirely. I mean, I can choose to, but I'm not necessarily successful. This is what we're all mainly the result of, isn't it?
No, no.
The fact that we can't erase our past, say.
You have an experience, no doubt. But who says it is an experience of the presence of God? Your mind. That can easily see it was an experience, as good or as bad as my seeing you sitting in front of me, with no greater validity, no greater value. I have seen you, and my worries are not at rest. I have not found peace of mind. I have not, perhaps more, I have not gained the peace of mind. And if I see Krishna or Buddha sitting in front of me,
same.
It's shocking, isn't it? That is shocking.
It's shocking.
That much one can, the mind can figure out. The mind, to begin with, says, ha, I had a vision of Krishna. Okay, chum, so what? That doesn't happen then. You think you are something special, you think you... Now, you have made it, you have made the grade. Then? The individuality is still there, very much so. Correct?
Yes.
The individuality is there, very much so. Perhaps even worse than before. Because now I don't care. You tease me, I call Krishna. Then I press the bell a couple of times, and when he is sleeping or when he is in a bad mood and he doesn't appear. I thought, my God, if I had shouted for David, he would come running. That seems to be less important than being on friendly terms with David. If I am threatened, I can call him, he will come. But this nameless formless being doesn't always respond to my call. If I want to see God, why don't I see God here, right here? This. And if she cannot help me, then God may not be able to help me either. When that goes, then it is possible that I might see that all this is the same as that. Purnamadah, Purnamidam. That is the infinite, and this also is the same infinite. And the love that I have for God is then transferred to everything, everybody. And what he does through everybody. Same thing. So, your question was much simpler. I had that initial experience which for a moment was highly inspiring. Must I live with that experience? May not. If it is a foolish thing, I can unmake it as easily as I made it. The mind made it. The mind made that experience possible. And it can suddenly become aware of a simple truth, that all experiences are totally dependent upon the experiencer. The experience is dependent or related to the experiencer. If you think it is a great experience, it is a great experience. If you think it is not such a great experience, it is not such a great experience. It's not a philosophy of defeat and depression. But once you have disposed of that, then suddenly you may wake up to realize that all this may be God. God is not in opposition to you. God is not exclusive of you. Inclusive. Not particularized, sure. Not individualized, not limited, sure.
Christian isn't going to have a vision of Krishna.
Oh yeah, that depends upon your mind. All these visions are dependent upon your mind, related to you. And therefore, when God appears to her, he appears as Jesus Christ. And when God appears to Erika, he appears as a burning bush. I asked a Jewish girl, little one, what does God mean to you? She said, God is a bushfire that doesn't burn. The experience is true, but the interpretation of that experience as something spiritual, as something special, I've seen God, there's something lacking there.
Sometimes when you have an experience like that, or there's just an experience of just being, then there's just total involvement. And then as soon as you think, you notice
it. That's it. As long as it goes away, it's all right.
Yeah.
As soon as you begin to think, the experience disappears.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are left with is a shell. I don't know if you have, but did we see it somewhere? Souvenirs from the World War. Shell casings. Huh? In some places they have often made some sort of flower vases and things like that with it. Have you seen?
Yes.
Shell casings. That's all they are good for. They are no. There is no ammunition. It's not part of the ammunition. The inside, the real thing has been fired. And what is left behind is merely the casing. You can put it in the mantelpiece. That occupies the mantelpiece, and it's of no use. Similarly, the experience was probably true, real. But that is not for the mind to grasp. And when the mind grasps it, the experience goes away, it's gone, the shell is fired. it's gone. Then if you want to keep the shell as a memory, I had a vision of God, okay, carry it around. It's a nuisance.
Hari Om Tat Sat.